Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a great day to celebrate a baptism. What a great day to celebrate the truth of who we are as children of the living God. What a great day to remember that when we celebrate here in this place, in this little chapel at Eastern Michigan University, that we are celebrating with all the saints who have gone before us, all those who are in the very presence of the King, all those who are celebrating for eternity, all those who are before the elders and the angels and the throne. You see, we only see ourselves as a small little portion of the kingdom. We only see ourselves as a small little portion of what is the true church of Jesus Christ. The true church of Jesus Christ is all the saints who have gone before us, all those who are in a relationship with Jesus Christ, who are trusting in him for salvation, and who have a place with him forever. That's why I love it when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, because I'll never forget an illustration that was years. I mean, I was probably Ben's age. I was probably, you know, maybe 6, 7, 8, something like that. And we had a speaker come, and he talked about the Lord's Supper, and he said, you know, when you celebrate the Lord's Supper here, you are celebrating the Feast of Victory. And he said, as baptized children of God, what we understand is we are at the table, and all we get is to see this little portion of this huge table, a table that starts at the beginning with all of the believers that have gone before us. They're all at the table celebrating the feast, and we up till this point, and there's like this veil, and we get to celebrate just this little tiny little piece of this table where we're celebrating today. And yet, if we could just look and see the length of the table before us and the length of the table behind us, we would see all of heaven, all of the table, all the people who are celebrating, all the lambs of the great shepherd. We could see everybody, and it would be an amazing sight, wouldn't it? I'll never forget, I was just a kid, and I remember I got goosebumps at the thought. To see all of those who have gone before us, all those who are children of the living God, all those who have been by grace saved through faith and have a place in eternity, that are celebrating this feast. And to just think that when we celebrate it here today, we're celebrating with all the Christians around the world, we're celebrating with all those who have gone before us and all those who are coming after us, that we're just celebrating at this particular time, but we're part of eternity. Isn't that awesome? That's why I love All Saints Day, because it's a great day to celebrate. And when we were reading, when Ellen was reading about the 12,000 from each tribe, it's a great reminder, it's 144,000, which if you're a Hebrew person, you understand that 12 is the number of completeness. You have the Old Testament 12, you have the New Testament 12, and you have the 1,000, which is the total number of total. That's the total. Total is 1,000. So you times 12 times 1,000, what do you get? 144,000. It's the perfect number of all the people who are part of the family of God. It's an amazing gift to know that when Korah was sealed today with the simple oil and the simple water, but with the mighty word of God, when she was sealed as a child of God, she became part of that number. Isn't that awesome? She became part of that number. 144,000, the number of people. And you know, it's so funny because if we could only just picture in our minds and hearts this great feast that's happening, it would be such a wonderful celebration. The words from 1 John 3:1-3 are so impressive. It says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Last week we talked about Reformation Sunday. We talked about the importance of the world knowing the truth of grace, right? Why we still need to have saved by grace alone, through faith alone, by scripture alone, for the glory of God alone. All those things we still need, because there's still people out there who are trusting in themselves, and yet the only way to salvation is through Jesus. But let us not forget, it's because of who we are that we can celebrate today, because, beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is, and everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. You see, the challenge for us is what Jesus' words say to us in the Sermon on the Mount when he said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." He knew that when we tried to figure this out in the world, we tried to deal with the truth of being both part of the church militant as well as part of the church triumphant, knowing that we're still here dealing with sin at the same time as we're dealing with the fact that we have a place in heaven, that it's going to be hard for us to understand, right? Isn't that hard for us to understand? Isn't it hard for our human minds to comprehend how we can be both sinner and saint at the same time? And so he knew that we were going to have trouble with this. And he said right to his disciples in chapter 5. He said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." How many of us who are going through persecution say, "I am so thankful because I am a citizen of heaven"? How many of you, when you're getting persecuted, are happy? I don't know. I don't feel happy. I don't feel joyful. I wish when I was going through persecution that I would sense this. I wish that the Lord would remind me of this so that I would think of this, that this is a great thing. Because blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. He tells us right there that we're going to have difficulty on this side of heaven trying to remain faithful in the church militant while we're also citizens in the church triumphant. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be complicated. So much so that the church needs to hear this and be reminded of this, that even though we are in the church militant, we are also in the church triumphant. There's a phrase that was used in Latin. Excuse me. There was a phrase that was during the Reformation that was from the Latin, and I hope I do this justice. It might surprise you, but I don't go around speaking Latin very often. So it says, "Simul justus et peccator." Did I say that right, Tom? Okay. And it comes from the Latin for simul, which means simultaneous. Latin justus, which means righteousness. And the Latin et, which means and Latin peccator, which means sinner. And it was part of the Reformation to believe that we are both righteous and sinner at the same time. That was hard for people to understand. It was hard for people to understand that we could be a sinner and in this world in the church militant and continuing to sin, continuing to fall short, continuing to need God's grace, and yet at the same time know that our citizenship was secured in heaven. And that's why we need to hear Revelation 7 when we hear these wonderful words that were read. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst anymore. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Isn't that a beautiful picture? That's our citizenship. That's where we belong. That's what we crave. That's where we're heading. That's why Korah was sealed today with the cross of Christ both upon our forehead and upon our heart to mark her as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. And I want to remind you, though, that God's not going to force you into heaven. Okay, some of you are saying, "Well, so what you're saying, Pastor, is everybody who's been baptized goes to heaven." I'm not saying that. Because God's not going to force you to go there. He's not going to put you in a headlock and say, "You're coming to heaven whether you like it or not." When I was in the military, one of the guys used to like to joke with me. Say, "Padre, I don't want to go to heaven because it'll be like church 24/7. If I'm going to go anywhere, I'm going to go to hell because they're going to be having a lot of fun there." Seriously. Said to me over and over again. Finally, I turned to him one day and I said, "Well, you know, you may get your wish." And I walked away. Because the Lord, he's not going to force us, right? He wants us to think of ourselves both as having not only the promise, as Korah has received today, that you're a child of the living God and that he has poured out his love upon us, and he wants us to know how special and how amazing is his love toward us. And at the same time, though, we also have our citizenship in heaven. That we would never forget that, but that we would celebrate that we are sinner and saint at the same time, and that we wouldn't, you know, you can do one of two things. You can really spend all your time thinking about how much of a sinner you are. That's no good. You spend all your time thinking about how much of a saint you are. Is that any good? Not really. What's important is to have a proper balance. Say, I approach the Lord knowing that I don't deserve what he has given me. I don't deserve to be a child of God. I know that all my works are like filthy rags, that what I bring to him, I can never bring anything righteous enough for it to be as righteous as it needs to be. And yet when I approach him in humility, he says to me, your sins are forgiven. You are set free. You are made new. You have a place with me forever in heaven. Isn't that awesome? So may we celebrate today on this All Saints Sunday that Korah has received this promise, that we who are baptized, we who are children of the living God, have received this promise. And nothing can snatch us from the Father's hand. Nothing can take away this promise. It is a gift that God has given to us. And we have it forever. We have to remember who we are. Let Korah and each other know we are children of the living God. This is our promise. This is our hope. We are part of this everlasting feast and family gathering. Let us celebrate and remember. May we never forget. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God.